It's time once again for our regular monthly catch-up with RNIB campaigns to find out what the big topics are at the moment. What is the UK's leading sight loss charity involved in helping make everyday lives better for people with visual impairments? And also how you can get involved as a volunteer campaigner. Perhaps you're visually impaired yourself or know someone who is and has issues. You know, it could be anything from welfare payments to street clutter. There's all sorts of ways you can get involved and help RNIB's campaigns team, and indeed get help from the campaigns team as well. Joining me as always, we have with us Jessica Hall.
Hello, how are you?
Not bad. Have you survived all the weather?
Yes, made it through the snow.
It's a thing of the past. Fingers crossed anyway. Now we've got three topics we're going to be discussing today, Jess. And the first couple are around welfare payments. So let's dive straight in with PIP, or personal independence payments.
Yeah, personal independence payments, or PIP, is a crucial benefit for many blind and partially sighted people, helping to meet some of the extra costs of living with a disability. But the process of applying for and being awarded PIP isn't working for many blind and partially sighted people. Inappropriate assessments and poor decision making is leading to people being refused PIP, leaving them distressed and worse off. PIP assessors often don't understand sight loss and its impact on people's daily lives, and some are even conducting eye tests, overriding evidence from NHS ophthalmologists. As well as problematic assessments, poor decision making by the Department for Work and Pensions, the DWP, is also resulting in people being offered a lower level of PIP or being refused altogether. And we've decided that enough is enough. And so we're calling on the Department of Work and Pensions to do two important things. Firstly, to ensure that the PIP assessment and decision-making processes are fair for blind and partially sighted people. And secondly, to make the PIP assessment process accessible for blind and partially sighted people, taking into consideration their individual needs. We want the PIP process to be fair for blind and partially sighted people, and you can be part of making that happen. You can join us by asking your MP to write to the Secretary of State for Work and Pensions, Esther McVeigh, to make sure that blind and partially sighted people get the payments that they're entitled to. It's quick and easy to do and can make a real difference. All you need to do is visit www.rnib.org.uk/act-on-PIP. Where you'll find our online action, which includes a template letter for your MP. And you can also follow the conversation about this important issue on Twitter and Facebook using the hashtag DWPWeNeedToTalk.
It is, as you say, Jess, a real hot topic at the moment. In a recent RNIB Connect show, I was actually chatting with Stephen Scott, the presenter, and David Allwinkle from RNIB. We're all discussing our own experiences of PIP, and there were, you know, some very stark differences, and it really highlighted some of the issues, as you mentioned, Jess, you know, people who are registered blind being turned down when that is completely wrong, you know, without even an eye test, really. So, yeah, let's hope people do get in touch with any problems, and indeed get in touch to help with that letter and press their MPs into action as well. We are going to stay with social security payments for our next piece, but this is more around devolved benefits.
Yeah, our Scottish listeners may know that Scottish Parliament is in the process of forming a new social security bill, which will see many welfare benefits come under devolved powers. RNIB Scotland have been following the process closely and working on amendments to what will become the Social Security Scotland Bill. And to ensure that the bill reflects the needs of blind and partially sighted people, they've been holding discussion groups covering a wide range of topics, including people's experiences of assessments, applying for assistance, and what the new social security system in Scotland should be like. This has fed directly into RNIB's consultation response and evidence that was given to members of Scottish Parliament, and specifically calling for amendments that would ensure that individuals receive information and documents in an accessible format, such as Braille, large print and audio. And after being lodged by Mark Griffin, MSP, the amendment was passed 5-4 by the Social Security Committee in February, gaining support from 3 out of 4 political parties on the committee. The amendment will now go to stage 3 of the bill process, and if it passes, it will ensure that the system is accessible to all, and we'll keep you updated on progress. And you can find out more about day-to-day campaign activity in Scotland by visiting their Facebook page if you go to facebook.com/rnib.scotland.
Interesting you talk about the different panels and committees there, Jess. I take part in one of the user group panels and testing panels as well. And we've been kind of involved since the very start with this. Importantly for me being on that was because PIP will be one of the devolved payments as well. We will have regular features with Gene Freeman, MSP, who is behind the Social Security changes as well. Now, Jess will give us some details later if you want to get in touch with Campaigns Team for any information whatsoever. Even if you missed some of the details earlier, you can, of course, catch up. But what we're going to do now, Jess, is a little bit from yourself, and we're also going to hear from an RNIB campaigner.
Yes, there's been more campaigning success from one of our volunteer campaign coordinators, this time in the south of the country, in Worthing. Brian Butcher has been blind since birth and, following a career in business, has now put his skills and experience to the task of breaking down barriers for blind and partially sighted people. Brian turned his attention to the problem of street clutter on one of Worthing's busiest shopping streets.
The council announced in the local paper they were going to trial a licensing scheme to reduce the amount of street clutter. I approached the council to say, could we work with you to help you make this happen? Because as we all know, anyone with a sight issue, that street clutter is pretty difficult. Now, unfortunately, it was met with a lot of negativity because the council were going to charge for the implementation of this scheme because it costs money to license and enforce it. I put a proposal to the council to say, why don't we hold a Swap With Me event with the business owners who have the street furniture on the street and the council members, just so that everybody can experience what it is like for blind people walking along a street with a lot of clutter on it. Most of the executive members and the leader from the council turn up, and lots of the businesses turn up, and we pop some SIM specs on them and just very simply asked them and helped them walk up and down the street to experience what it was like. And having done the Swap With Me event, the council pretty much were very determined to make the licensing trial a success.
As we heard there from Brian, getting people to experience walking down the street with SIM specs is a really powerful way to help someone understand the challenges blind and partially sighted people face. Here's just one of the reactions that Brian got on the day.
One of the stories that really made it for me was one of the local business owners who actually had three A-boards out on the street said to me, I get it now. I didn't realise beforehand. I get why this is so difficult for you. I'm going to go back and take mine off the street. And he went back and took them off there and then. So talking to people and getting people to experience what it is like for blind and partially sighted people to move about on cluttered street is incredibly powerful. And we've really got to focus on the why, not the money. Why were we chasing this issue in the first place? And why was it such an issue in the first place? The council thought it was so powerful and so worthwhile. We are going to be working hand in hand with the local council when they roll the licensing scheme out to the rest of Worthing. And very simply put, that means that we will hold that event each time each area is proposed to be licensed for their street furniture. One, that will make it much easier for the council to implement the scheme. And secondly, people will really understand why this is so important.
Some fantastic work by Brian in not only challenging street clutter, but transforming the understanding of business owners to make the streets of Worthing more accessible. There's more work to do, and we look forward to hearing how things progress. If, like Brian, you've been experiencing problems with street clutter in your local area and you'd like local businesses to really understand, how about starting your own campaign? Here's Brian with some reflections on his experience as a volunteer campaign coordinator.
If you're listening to this and you're thinking about volunteering for the RNIB and you're experiencing similar issues in your local neighbourhood, then do it. It proves to me that even if you have got sight impairment and a bit of hearing loss, you can still achieve many, many things. It's also very rewarding because it helps other people as well. You have to be persistent. You have to keep going. The RNIB will give you all the support you need, and they've been brilliant with me. So if you're going to do it, good luck.
Well done indeed to Brian. And I think, Jess, you know, it really shows that a little bit of patience, some determination can really make a big difference. You know, and he got lots of people involved as well. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's encouraging more visually impaired people, blind or partially sighted, to kind of stand up and say, you know, we're not happy about this. And you don't have to be an expert campaigner. You can start at the very beginning, you know, looking for help and support. And there's plenty of that which you can get from RNIB.
That's right. As always, if you would like to get involved with campaigning to make your local area more accessible, or you're coming across some other kind of challenge, we've got lots of great resources online for you. If you go to www.rnib.org.uk/campaigns, you'll find all sorts of resources and news about what's going on with campaigning. Or you can get in touch with your local regional campaigns officer if you call our hotline on 020 7391 2123, or email us campaigns@rnib.org.uk.
Fantastic. Let's hope lots of people do just that, Jess, and we'll catch up with you again next month for more of the latest news from RNIB's campaigns teams. But in the meantime, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks for having me.